Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Well, let's start with the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears, what did they need most heading into the offseason? They needed help in the trenches. They needed some beef up front on both sides of the ball, defense and on offense. Offensive line, this has been a story that's been well-worn here in Chicago, in Chicagoland area. If you're a Chicago Bears fan at a bar with a buddy, what are the three main things you're mostly complaining about? You're usually complaining about the coaching, the quarterback, or the offensive line. Last year, the Chicago Bears went out, used their number one pick overall to select Caleb Williams. We still a little bit of a work in progress. We all know that the talent is there. I still have optimism. But obviously, he needs to get better in year two. The coach, they went out and got Ben Johnson, which seems to be one of the better hires that the Chicago Bears have ever done. Now, granted, never been a head coach before. Can he take his offensive scheme with the type of elite talent that they had in Detroit and transfer it over to Chicago? We'll wait and see. And then finally, the offense and defensive lines. Most specifically, the offensive line. Chicago Bears gave up the most sacks in the NFL last year. Some of it was on the rookie quarterback, but let's be honest. If you've been listening to my show before, you knew heading into this offseason, I believe the Chicago Bears need to replace four of the five offensive linemen moving forward. Darnell Wright, I think, is one of the foundational pieces of pillar that you can build around at right tackle. I like him. I would not move on from him. So what did the Chicago Bears do? They upgraded at three of the areas and possibly maybe even a fourth with the draft coming up at the end of April. The good news for the Chicago Bears is they got their work done early, kind of a Ryan Poles staple. He strikes quickly. He makes moves with conviction, whether they're right or wrong. That just seems to be a bit of his MO, and he did so again. Before free agency even began, he went out and traded for Jonah Jackson from the Los Angeles Rams, a guy who signed a three-year $51 million deal to play for the Rams. Last year was hurt in training camp, never really got off to a good start, got hurt again, only played four games. By the time he was healthy, he was no longer a fit on the starting offensive line for the Rams because things were going good. They were in rhythm. He was the odd man out. But he's a guy who made a Pro Bowl under Ben Johnson's scheme in Detroit in 2021, so they're taking another swing there. They then went out and traded for Joe Tooney, all-pro, multiple Pro Bowler, four Super Bowl champions. He's been to a lot of Super Bowls. He's been in some huge games. He's 34 years old. I totally get it. But this guy is a future Hall of Famer. And then the most recent one, earlier this week, signing center 26-year-old Drew Dahlman of the Atlanta Falcons to a three-year deal and upgrading at that position. We can go back and forth as much as we want to. And here's my favorite part about social media, or maybe even your friendly Bears fan down the street from you, where you could have 1,000 conversations about sports, about the Bears, what's up, what's down. I guarantee you, up until about a month ago, that Bears friend or that Bears fan on social media didn't even probably know who Drew Dahlman was. And now all of a sudden, a lot of people are pretending to be Drew Dahlman experts. I find it funny, and that's a bit of the piece of the business that we're in. So let's go through each of these moves. I'm going to give you my personal opinion, and let's keep in mind here that this is still the offseason. I'm talking about Bears football in March. There is a long way to go, and health provided, we will find out whether these moves are what proportion upgrade they actually are. I can tell you on its face right now, with certainty, that adding Jonah Jackson, Joe Tooney, and Drew Dahlman, those are smart moves. Those are moves that automatically upgrade a very bad offensive line. Whether it takes them up to average, above average, to elite is yet to be seen. And keep in mind, the work is not done yet because they could still do something in the draft. So anyone that wants to tell you one way or the other right now, I just think it's too early to call. Let's start with the part that I don't like so much. Jonah Jackson, I just think is a bit of a question mark. And the way that the contract is structured, it is a one-year prove-it deal, and it's kind of a get-me-through year. I mean, we want to applaud Ryan Poles for doing a lot of the heavy lifting on the offensive line in the matter of a week. But I do think, you know, Jonah Jackson's going to be a little bit more of a stopgap. What I do like about it, though, is the way that they went about building this line with these three guys. Joe Tooney, Jonah Jackson are big and strong. Jude Dahlman is a little bit smaller. So to have those two guys on his left shoulder and his right shoulder, I think is a plus. The Jonah Jackson move, the thumb is kind of going sideways on this one. I think he will be an improvement over Nate Davis. He probably is an improvement over Matt Pryor. But he's not really moving the needle so much. And if anything, you're asking for competent play in between what I think is a good player in Donald Wright and what I think is a good player in Jude Dahlman. Now, Jude Dahlman gets $28 million guaranteed, three-year deal, $42 million. Do not pay attention to the $42 million. Pay attention to the $28 million guaranteed. It is basically a two-year deal. And what it also says with Jude Dahlman and a guy like Joe Tooney also is that these are actually closer to one-year deals in the grand scheme of the Chicago Bears' future long-term cap. Because if Joe Tooney or Jude Dahlman have successful seasons, let's pretend one or maybe even both of them go to a Pro Bowl. The Chicago Bears are good. They make the playoffs. Everything's hunky-dory. One or both of those guys are immediately getting extended on that deal. So what's nice about it is all these guys are in prove-it mode, even a 26-year-old Dahlman who just got paid. Now, a lot of people were worried that Jude Dahlman was going to try and reset the market at center. The current highest-paid center in the NFL right now is Creed Humphrey at, I believe, $18 million, and he earns every single penny. People were thinking that Jude Dahlman wanted $18 to $20 million, possibly pricing himself out of the Chicago Bears' asking range. Luckily, it came in at $14 million. Just doing a little research on Jude Dahlman, I think no one is going to debate with you that he is a bad center. I think a lot of people want to try and ding him or maybe seem like they're the smartest people in the room by telling you that he's average. But if you look at all the statistics and all the grading metrics, he is an above average player. He's 26 years old. And the most important part is that if you listen to people that cover the Atlanta Falcons, they will tell you that he knows all the checks. He knows all the calls. He may be a little bit smaller, but the fact that, again, he's next to Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson is a plus for him. And if you're going to get nitpicky on Jude Dahlman and what he's going to be and what he isn't going to be, just roll the clocks back on the in memoriam of what the Chicago Bears have had at center lately. You know, Coleman Shelton, smart player, but man, when he whiffed badly. And it cost the team. Roll it back, Sam Mustafa, Cody Whitehair. Some of these guys even had trouble snapping the football. Lucas Patrick brought him in because he knows the coach's system. And that's all just baked into a little bit of this skepticism where I feel like we have our brains wiped clean a little bit, like in Men in Black, every couple of years on this stuff. We literally just a couple of years ago were talking ourselves into Lucas Patrick because he knew Luke Getsy's system so well. So forgive me when it comes to Jonah Jackson. Well, there's a lot of red flags. Is he healthy? Is he the player that he once was? Can he even play right guard? And then people will throw back at you, well, he knows Ben Johnson's system. Okay, well, I'm going to meet that with a certain amount of skepticism. And I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here. These are good, positive moves that honestly make the Chicago Bears better. But I'm not doing backflips over this thing necessarily. The only one that I really, really love on the offensive line, obviously, is the Joe Tooney situation. This dude, not only on the field, but off the field, is exactly what the Chicago Bears need. I've mentioned this before, and maybe you've heard the story, that last year with Matt Eberflus's team, there was a leadership council of seven or eight captains, and not a single one was an offensive lineman. Make that make sense. Joe Tooney's going to immediately come in there, be a leader in that room, and hopefully make Drew Dahlman a little bit better. Hopefully, if they draft a left tackle, or maybe it is Braxton Jones getting healthy and holding onto the job for 1 year, he can make his job a little bit easier. Hopefully, the sum of the parts can help elevate the game across the entire line. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Chicago Bears offensive line is going to be elite next year. And depending on how you want to grade it, they were probably somewhere in the mid-20s out of 32 NFL teams. If you're telling me the Chicago Bears can somehow get into the top 15, maybe even top 12 of offensive lines, that is a huge upgrade. And will give us a clearer picture of who and what Caleb Williams is or isn't in year two. The Bears were not done. They got busy on the defensive line. There's one move that I like. The other one that I questioned just a little bit, where you have to put some faith into a Chicago Bears coach, something that we have struggled to do and have that actually come to fruition and have that faith be rewarded on the football field. But the first one is Dayo Odenbu. 3 years, $48 million. Now he's a 25-year-old player. Not a lot of high sack totals, but a lot of good pressures. And again, you're asking yourself, why did the Chicago Bears go after this guy? And why are they paying him $16 million a year? Well, this is a very Chicago Bears move, in my opinion. They're paying for a guy who they think has untapped potential, has a higher ceiling than they think. And more specifically, again, Ryan Poles is listening and working in concert with this coaching staff, because apparently Dennis Allen, this is one of the guys that he wanted to target and go out and get. This is the type of player that Dennis Allen wants. He's got power. He's got length. He's got size. My only question is, if he's 25 years old with all this untapped potential, why are the Colts letting him walk? I know that we want to get really jazzed about free agency, about the players that we acquire, but sometimes you also have to ask yourself the question, why are these players being allowed to walk out the door of their respective teams? In the case of Joe Tooney, you can make the argument that they had to clear up some cap space, which also reported today that they restructured the contracts of Patrick Mahomes and others, clearing up more cap space because they have to re-sign some more of their guys. So they had to make a bit of a Sophie's choice of who do they keep and who they don't. And unfortunately, they decided to move on from the 34-year-old. But again, in the case of the Atlanta Falcons, 10-year veteran Grady Jarrett hit the market Monday morning, and he did not stay in the market very long as the Chicago Bears jumped in there. 3 years, $43.5 million. A guy that in 2019-2020 was a second-team All-Pro, was a two-time Pro Bowler, but man, that is a long time ago. And there are some troubling statistics in regards to regression when it comes to Grady Jarrett. I mean, he had a pressure rate in the high 20s, low 30s just 3 or 4 years ago. Last year, I believe it was 9 or 10%. Now, you can say a couple of different things regarding that. One, you could say, man, maybe the 34-year-old is just getting older and he's past his prime. The other one is, did the Atlanta Falcons have a good defense and did he have a good running mate on the defensive tackle position, where now if you pair Grady Jarrett with either an Andrew Billings or a Jervon Dexter or maybe even a draft pick of the Chicago Bears choosing, does that veteran presence with that type of talent next to him, maybe does that help the defensive line a little bit? I mean, Grady Jarrett's going to be good at stopping the run. Chicago Bears needed serious help with that. And again, another piece that maybe isn't going to show up on the field, but something that's so essential to getting the ship righted at Halas Hall, especially when it comes to a new head coach like Ben Johnson. And I hate to use the word culture, but they just need more serious adults in the room with the Chicago Bears. And when players talk about we didn't have accountability, we weren't getting coached hard enough, all that stuff is now going to come to fruition this next season. So they better gear up for what they asked for, or they're going to get weeded out really quickly. I think Grady Jarrett brings the type of work ethic that is needed on the defensive line and on the defensive side of the ball. Word on the street from people from Atlanta is that he's a very quiet, very stoic, very serious person, but also he is an excellent locker room presence, and he has also been a fantastic pillar in the community in Atlanta. I know some of you just want to care about wins and losses, but I promise you, and take this into any industry or any vocation in your life, when you are a good person and do the right things, and when we talk about Grady Jarrett and the generous work that he's done in his community over the years in the Atlanta region, I personally believe that that can sometimes translate to positive results in the field. Of course, that doesn't come into some of the physical limitations that he's dealing with as he's getting a little bit older. But man, the Chicago Bears need better people in the room. Stronger personalities, stronger backbone, and honestly just more quality human beings in there. Not saying that there weren't before, but who were the leaders on this team last year? No offense, but Jalen Johnson as your cornerback being the only one standing up and saying something. I mean, sometimes you need the guys that weigh the most and that carry the biggest presence and carry the biggest stick in the room being the ones that say something. And I will say, and you know, look, we're going to do a lot of talk about the NFL draft here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos, and you're listening on WLS AM 890. Happy Saturday, by the way. We're going to be talking a lot more about the NFL draft coming up, so they're definitely, I'm hoping, going to be adding to the defensive line and the offensive line. I've been saying consistently that I do think that the Chicago Bears are going to focus solely on the offensive side of the ball, and I do think that the defense may take a step back, maybe in a transition mode, and maybe the type of unit that that Bears fans will be complaining about come October and November. But I will tell you that these moves definitely shore that up a little bit. I don't know if I'm ready to just put that angle or my belief to bed, but I do think that they got better at an important position. Again, how much better can they be? When you say a team got better, imagination can run wild, right? And when you talk about a 5-win football team and you talk about a team that lost 10 games in a row last year, what is the scale up on that? When you say a team got better, does that mean 7 or 8 wins? Or are you the type of Bears fans that goes, man, this team got better, we're winning 10 or 11? I still think they're a few moves away, and I really want to see what they do in the draft. Specifically, I think they need to add defensive line, offensive line, running back, and then obviously attack some version of the secondary and or cornerback with some of the picks that they have coming up. And then maybe let's have this conversation. It is, though, one of the more interesting times for the Chicago Bears, who, again, consistently every single year, we have an off-season dynasty rolling right now, where every year we are making headlines and we are getting jacked up and ahead of our skis a little bit every single summer because we love Bears football, and also the Chicago Bears make some moves that think, oh, yeah, finally we fixed the problem. A lot of people have been saying, well, this offseason reminds us a whole lot of 2018. And we remember what happened in 2018. Yes, the Chicago Bears went 12-4. They had a fantastic team. They lost in the playoffs in completely horrific, tragic fashion. We'll never know if Cody Parkey does a double doink that field goal. Do the Chicago Bears maybe make it to the Super Bowl that year? And were they the team of destiny? But a lot of people are saying, wow, this offseason mirrors that of 2018. And I'm just also going to tell you, hey, not so fast. In 2018, the Chicago Bears went out and signed Allen Robinson, wide receiver Taylor Gabriel, tight end Trey Burton. They also drafted Roquan Smith, James Daniels, interior offensive lineman, wide receiver Anthony Miller, defensive tackle Bilal Nichols, and then a week before the season traded for Khalil Mack. So if people want to say that this offseason is better than 2018, 2018 would like to say, hold my beer. If we want to make parallels and comparisons, let's do it. Allen Robinson, I think Joe Tooney is this offseason's Allen Robinson. He is the one guy who I think will bring a consistent Pro Bowl type play onto the field, and a guy that I think is going to stick around for 3 or 4 years. I mean, keep in mind, Taylor Gabriel was great for a couple seasons. Injuries got to him, and then when he came back, there was ineffectiveness, and then they moved on from Mitch. Didn't last very long. Trey Burton, incredible first half of 2018. But again, struggled with injuries. We'll never really know what happened in terms of him suddenly not playing against the Philadelphia Eagles. If you don't remember, he was all of a sudden out and was unable to play days before that game. But he didn't last very long either. And then this is what's going to be so important. Ryan Poles needs to nail this 2025 draft at the end of April. There's no other way around it. He needs to get it right. And let's be honest, he hasn't gotten it right so far. This last draft, I'm willing to go there with you. You do get Caleb Williams. You do get Roman Dunze. Maybe Karan Amagaji turns into a player. But obviously, if Caleb Williams is your franchise quarterback of the future and Roman Dunze is his number one wide receiver and they're a dynamic duo, that is a good draft. Can't quite say that just yet, can we? The previous drafts, though, I'll say it for the 1,000th time. How many Pro Bowl players has Ryan Poles drafted? Zero. In this 2018 draft alone, Roquan Smith, franchise-type linebacker. Of course, we ended up trading him. James Daniels went on and got a second contract, played several years for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Currently, he's on the street right now because he had a season-ending injury. But let's be honest, dude was a solid player, was a good pick, and played. Anthony Miller, eh, moments, not even really a full year. But Bilal Nichols became a valuable rotational player on the defensive line, and then they traded for a guy like Khalil Mack. So 2018's offseason overshadows this offseason by far to this point. Now, if you tell me at 10, 39, and 41, you get three starters of the future and one of them is your future franchise running back, we'll revisit it. I have no problem saying that or doing that. But the Chicago Bears to this point, they've gotten better. That's all we can say. And it's too bad because the referendum on Ryan Poles continues, right? I think to this point, I think there's been way more misses than there's been hits. So does he deserve my trust? No. Does he still deserve my patience? Probably. One, because I'm a sicko and I'm a psycho Bears fan. And the other one is we just don't know exactly what we have with Caleb Williams yet. And now in this offseason, he has finally made a concerted effort to address something that I think Bears fans and myself have been banging the table on for the last couple years. It still is incredible and deeply ironic when you look back on it that Ryan Poles, former offensive lineman, gets hired to be the general manager and then punts on the offensive line for several seasons in an organization that rarely pays offensive linemen. This is your first time coming in the show. Kyle Long and Cody Whitehair are the only two players to ever be paid more than $50 million on the offensive line by the Chicago Bears. That is still true because Drew Dahlman is only making, let me get it right, Drew Dahlman is only making $42 million. Jonah Jackson has some money left on his deal. In my opinion, I do think Joe Tooney will be extended probably for at least a season heading into this year. But I don't think they're going to give him more than $50 million. Not at this time. And to see them go out and make a concerted effort with not just one move, not just two moves, but three moves, providing them flexibility in the draft coming up to maybe take the left tackle or a guard of the future at number 10, to maybe take the best defensive lineman on the board at 10 and then maybe try and draft an offensive lineman at 39 or 41. The flexibility is nice for them to have. They don't have to be boxed into, well, we just need to take a guy because we absolutely have to fill up this position right now. If you took away the draft that the Chicago Bears had to play in week one, I think they would be an improvement over last year's team, but not by much. If you hit on this draft, Ryan Poles, especially with the guys up front, and you get the running back correct, I think that's when we can really start to dream about not just the Chicago Bears heading into next season, but the Chicago Bears over the next couple of years.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.